Okay, welcome back everybody to our Learning at Share. I hope everyone is having a meaningful, uplifting, healthy, and productive week. We are learning as always the Zecher Nishmasa, the Yilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha Hashala, May the Neshama Merah Zechus Aliyah, and Zechira Tova, and the Zechus of the Devesha Torah that we will share tonight. We continue to thank the Fron family very much for their stellar and unwavering commitment to these Devrei Torah, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Alaha Hashalom. So last time we spoke about Rabbi Zev Leff, if you remember, we went into the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about what holds us back from doing the will of Hashem is two things. One is the yeast in the dough, and which is the internal Yetzer Hara, and the other one is Shubun Malchus. But if you remember, Rabbi Zev Leff had a very different pshat. Shubun Malchus doesn't mean the subjugation to the four exiles, it means the negative influence is the external Yetzer Hara. The internal Yetzer Hara is the natural impulses we are all born with that you could channel for the good or not. And then the external Yetzer Hara is things like buying ripped jeans for fortune and money, which no one in their right mind has an internal desire to do. It's just a learned behavior from Shibun Malchus. So he defines these two different aspects of the Yetzer Hara: an internal Yetzer Hara, which keeps you from doing Ratzon Hashem, and an external Yetzer Hara, which is the influence of society, which keeps you from doing Ratzon Hashem. Okay. So we are in the chapter 26. Our will is to do your will. Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzonecha. Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzonecha. Page 265 in the second sefer. Okay, so I'm not going to read this page again because we've spoken a lot and brought many insights. We spoke about the karbanos, the mizbeach. We can't have yeast. We can't have honey. We can only have salt. Last week you spoke about Rabbi Lev. So we are going to start on the top of page 266 today, this evening. Okay? Top of page 266 of the second sefer. In the chapter, our will is to do your will. So we're really trying to understand if a person has a ratzon and Hashem has a ratzon, that's not really how it's supposed to be, really. Like when you think of the gedolim, okay? Like a Rav Aaron Leib Shteinberg, that's others. No, what do I want? The only thing I want is to do what Hashem wants. So obviously, I don't know. For me, I'm not on such a level. I have what I want to do, and that's what God wants to do. Sometimes it matches up, and sometimes it doesn't match up. So the ultimate avoda is to really break my will, that I should really always want to do what Hashem wants. That should be my only ratzon. I should not have any other ratzon. But because of these two aspects of the Yetzer Hara, the internal one and the Shubun Malchus, like Rabbi Zev Leff explained, the outer one, so therefore we are pulled, and it's hard for us to focus really and to really direct our will to be Ratzon Hashem. So that's exactly what the top of page 266 says. Our avoda, our entire essence, our work is to extricate ourselves, like somebody who is, you know, sinking in mire, or sinking in that's what I'm looking for. What's the sand? Quicksand. Thank you. Our avoda is to extricate ourselves from the domain of the Yetzer Hara. And we have to, like someone who's sinking, and it's very hard to get out, and enter the domain of the Yetzer Tov. This goes all the way back to Maisa Bereishis. Animals were created by Yitzer with one yud. If you look by Maisa Bereishis, by the creation of animals, they only have one yud. But if you look on Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayinah Bereishis, Vayitzer, and God fashioned man, there's two yuds. So Chazal say two yuds because we were created from the beginning with these two inclinations. Every person has a Yetzer Tov, and every person has a Yetzer Hara. But we must enter the domain of the Yetzer Tov. That's our whole avoda here. Ezu Gibor Kovish Yetzer, a mighty warrior. The sages famously tell us in Pirkei Avos is someone who conquers his evil inclination. You can't slay your evil inclination. There's no such thing, but you can conquer it. And then we enter the state of Ritzoneinu. Our will is Laso Ritzonecha. That's all I really want. As we said, you cannot immediately escape the I that pulls towards egocentricity in order to access the inner good. And I don't know who remembers, but many years ago in the Sefer, I don't remember which page it's on, I didn't mark it. Oh, can I now, Baruch Hashem, look how you used my Sefer. It's such an office. Look at all my stickies, all my notes, all my extras. I don't know if you could see. All my handles. Yeah, look at my binding. It's amazing.
Show it to them.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Wow. It's mamish. It's really. Baruch Hashem. So I don't remember where we learned it, but I'm not making it up. And it's Kanainahar. And what we learned is such an achas. What we learned is that inside every person is every biblical personality. I don't remember what page. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in here. So every person has inside of them every biblical personality. And I found that to be extremely impactful. Why am I bringing up that now? Because the Mechaber, the author, just taught us you cannot immediately escape the I of egocentricity. Not this week's Sedra. This week is Vayechi. But next week's Sedra is already Parsha Shmos, where it's Mamish. I know. It's Chazak, Chazak, Venis, Chazek, this Shabbos. I know, it's unbelievable. I feel like we just started Bereishis. And next week it's Shemos. And what's the first thing that Paro says? So inside every person is every biblical personality. So that means we all have a Moshe, but we also have a Paro. We all have a Bilam, and we all have a, who's the opposite of Bilam? Avram Avinu, according to Chazan Pirkei Avos, okay? We all have a Yishma, but we also all have a Yitzchak. Every person has, and this really spoke to me so much, because each one of those personalities represents a different midah. And we all have positive midos. We have midos. We either channel them for the positive, or Rachman Alitzlan channel them for the negative. So what does Paro say? The first thing, when Moshe comes to him, the first thing he says, Parak Hey of Shemos, Pasuk Beis, Moshe says, 3 days in the desert, Alokeya Ivrim, Nira Eli. What is the first thing Paro says? Mi Hashem asher eshma bekolo lo yadati es Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo ashalech. He doesn't say I need them for slave labor. They're good for the economy. They've been here for 116 years and things are going so well. The first thing he says is, who is God that I should listen to? Him. I do not know God, and I will not send the people. Paro represents, if Moshe represents, the essence of humility. Power represents the essence of egocentricity. A person who thought, you remember, it's next week, Sedra. No, I think it's in the era when Moshe beats him by the river to warn him about the Mako. So Rashi famously tells us, why was he by the river? So people should not know that he would use the facilities. He went in the river so people would not think he was a human being. He made himself out into be a god. He's the epitome of egocentricity. And so we shouldn't think it's only Paro. This pull towards the I and the ego exists inside every single person. We all have it. The goal is to overcome it and say that there's only Ratzon Hashem. But that's not the Shibun Malchios. That's not, I want to buy ripped jeans. That's something that every person is born with. Especially you see it so prevalent, a child, a young child, before they learn social skills. Everything is about the eye of the child before they learn social skills. Then they learn social etiquette. It's not so polite, but they don't want to share their toys. They don't want to share their food. They don't want to share their mother's breast. They don't want to share anything. They don't want to share their mother's attention. Everything's about the young child. They're not even doing anything wrong. That's how they were created. And as a person grows, and hopefully becomes more mature, grows physically and matures emotionally, spiritually, metaphysically, we learn that the world's not about so much only the I, but that's who Paro was. So we all have that I that pulls us towards egocentricity, but we must move away from it. That keeps you in a quicksand in order to access the inner good. You must first awaken. So when you read about Paro, Para, Hey, Resh, Ayin, Hey, his para made him trip, but his para, his bad mouth, really exhibited the feelings that he had. He expressed who he was. He felt that he was on top of the world. He controlled the world, actually. Not he was on top of the world. He was the world. You must first awaken the truth. We have to move away from that. It's hard. A person is egocentric, stuck by nature. We want what's good for me, how I feel, what I want, what I think, how I want around the world. We can't be the Ribbono Shel Olam. You must first awaken the true Ratzon of the Neshama, which is the true will of the soul is, Ritzoneinu l'asor ritzonecha, our will is to do your will. I'm in the first paragraph on page 266. Once that is awakened, and the neshama is somewhat exposed, you may then transcend the superficial will of the I to do evil. So you have to rise above the will of what I want, which is the will to do evil, and then bond with the inner will to obey the Creator. I'll give you an easy example that we have all... I shouldn't say that. I'll give you this example that probably for most of us is not a Nisayan anymore because we've transcended that I to do evil. So let's say a person eats steak. They eat a very nice steak, not fake meat. You know, they have Impossible Burger or something. So real meat. And now you want to have, and it's Chal Yisrael, and it's Pride of the Farm, it's Klein's. You want a real ice cream for dessert. So for some people, it's a big Nisayan. I eat plenty of Nisayanas. I'm not judging anybody. I'm stating a fact. I also have my own Nisayanas that I have to deal with. I'm using this as an example. So I would say that for most of us, we have extricated ourselves from the pull. A young child doesn't understand. Why can't I have it? I want the ice cream. As they grow older, they learn to move away from what I want to what the Torah says. What the Torah says is the Ratzon Hashem, because Hashem says, Lo Savasha Gadi B'Chevim, three different times. You can't eat it, you can't cook it, you can't have anah. So no, we don't need this ice cream now. But when they're 2 years old, and they go try and explain to them, no, that you can't have this ice cream when they're 2.5, 3, after you eat the steak. I'm not talking about the town Ilui, and I'm not talking about the child who's the Malam and a Teva, but Derech Klal, a child that age has to be trained, has to learn, has to grow past what I want. That's a metaphor for all of us. We have to grow past what I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. After you become deeply immersed in the state of our will is to do your will, then you can approach the inner godly point of the neshama, and only after you move past who is God that I shall listen to his voice. You know what Paro said is really what we all say when we don't want to do Ratzon Hashem. Mi Hashem Asher Ashma Bekolo. Who is God that I want to eat ice cream after the meat? Who is God that I should listen to him? What he expressed, we find it so shocking. That's really what we all say when we do an Avera. I want to watch that movie. It has very bad things on the screen. Mi Hashem Asher Ashma Bekolo. All kinds of examples. I want to talk Lashon Hara. I want to post something that I really shouldn't post, but I really want to do it. We're all really saying what Paro said. The only way to approach the inner godly point of the neshama, of the soul, the only way to access K'tisha Brichu, Araisa, Yisrael, Chadhu, Rebon Shom, Hashem, His Torah, and Yisrael are one unity, is to be able to extricate yourself from egocentricity, move away from what I want, then you will come to a point where Hashem, Torah and Yisrael are one, and only then will you truly live in a state of Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzonecha. Again, when you think of the Gedolim, they really live like this. This is how they have no other Ratzon. There's literally no other Ratzon besides Ratzon Hashem. He was going back to eating. A lot of focus, I know, a lot of focus. I'm not going back to eating, but the Mechaber, the author, is going back to eating. Okay, so we're going to go page 266. Eating, we just spoke about eating. It was just in the previous chapters, yeah. Page 260 was about eating. Okay. Desire for food, page 262 is about eating. Okay, so we're back to eating. Okay, we're going to have a new insight. Eating with contemplation and thought. As we said earlier, before you begin any practical avodah, what are you saying, Nancy? We should give ourselves praise for not giving into the Yetzer Hara? Or we shouldn't give ourselves praise? We should? Type it. Nancy, type it. It'll be easier for me. As we said earlier, before you begin any practical avoda, any practical work, you must clarify your inner feelings. So in other words, you have to first be self-aware before you want to change, which is true of anything in life. A person can't change if they're not self-aware. How do you know what you need to change? I speak about self-awareness a lot in Elul, before the Rambam's 4/5 stages of Teshuvah. Really, the underlying stage of Teshuvah is, I have to be self-aware of who I am. Otherwise, how could you repent? You can't change if you don't think you need to change anything. The first thing is to be self-aware. So too, you have to clarify your inner feelings. You have to be self-aware of who you really are. How? We will return to the example of eating. It's funny because I just brought up the meat and the ice cream, okay? But the understanding that it is merely a single example. You're sitting at a table with a particular food in front of you. The moment you feel a desire to eat it, you should think to yourself, do I really want to eat this or not? By the way, on the top of the next page, I'm not skipping there yet, but it says in parentheses, so just you should know this before we go into it. Obviously, we're talking about eating for pleasure, not for sustenance. So when it comes, he's making a point of telling you, we're talking about just eating for pleasure, not eating for sustenance. So before you panic, when we learn this, understand what type of eating we're talking about. Okay, like, for example, it's Hanukkah, and there was a family party, and everybody ate so much, and now the donuts come. So how many people are actually really hungry, like physically, biologically hungry, like in your brain's getting, what's hunger, when your stomach sends messages to the brain that I need to eat. So I would venture to say that most people, there's Yotzei Minakal, if you're a Vemetzvai, after you ate at the big Hanukkah party, and the whole main course and everything delicious that was served. Most of us do not have the biological impulse of actually being hungry at that time. And yet, many people at the Hanukkah party, Michal Horowitz included, will eat a donut, because once you eat a donut, okay, fine, hello. But the truth is, even if you eat half, it's to be yotzei. But your body doesn't have the physical impulses of hunger. So you're sitting at a table. So remember, keep in mind, we're talking about eating for pleasure, not for sustenance. You're sitting at a table with a particular fruit in front of you. The moment you feel a desire to eat it, you should think to yourself, do I really want to eat this or not? So in your brain will probably say, you really don't need the donut. That's something in you really wants to eat the donut. As we said, now again, I'm not trying to harp on this topic, but the Mechaber keeps going back to it. So we're going through the Sefer. Okay? As we said, you might have both feelings. What are both feelings? I want to eat it, but I also don't want to eat it. I want it. I don't want it. Like Yosef and Ashes Potiphar. Not a joke. Another example of what is our will, is it to do your will. That's why there's famously a shalshalas over the Vayimain in Paraglamates of Yosef. There's only four shalshalot in the entire Torah. We had a bar mitzvah in our shul this past year, Parshas Vayeshev, and the bar mitzvah boy did such a good job. It's only one of four shalshalot in the Torah, and he really, it was so beautiful. So why does it say he refused with that wavering sound? Because that's really what Yosef was doing. He was wavering. That's what the shalshalas indicates every time it appears in the Chumash. Eliezer and the Shirech. I really want to be Mesharech with Avram with my daughter, but I really have to do my master's will. I want the Shirech, but I have to do my master's will. And Lot, he didn't really want to leave the town. I want to be in the town. I want to stay. I want to leave. I want to stay. I want to leave. And then we come to Yosef at Tzadik, and the Gemara tells us Beferish and Sota Lamevav that he wanted very much to be with Ashes Potiphar. Oh, it's in Birkos Yaakov. Birkos Yaakov, this week in Perek Mem Tes, when Yaakov blesses his sons, he speaks about how Yosef almost came to sin with her, but how at the last minute he was able to withhold and hold back. So you see that it's a normal human emotion to have a will. I'm not saying it's high level. I'm not saying it's the right level. We should move to having only Ratzon Hashem. But we see that even in the Torah, there exists these biblical personalities who they do have the sense of wavering. The last one, by the way, is in Parshas Tzav by Moshe Rabbeinu, Perek Zayin or Ches. Perek Zayin Vayishachat, when he shechted the last korban of the Miluim. He was supposed to be the Kohen, Shmos Perek Dal Pasuk Gedal, he lost the Kohuna, he has a sense of wavering. If I wouldn't have argued with God at the burning bush, I would have been the Kohen, but I'm not the Kohen. I should have been the Kohen, but Aaron's the Kohen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, fine. I don't want to go into it. If you do, fine. Okay. So in other words, we all have the sense of wavering. The donut sitting in front of you on the table, and like, I'm really not biologically hungry. If you know, if you hooked up something to my brain right now, there would not be any impulses coming from my stomach that like you need to eat. But it's Hanukkah, and it's a miracle of oil, and I eat them once a year. So like, I really want to eat the donut. But like myself, if we're intellectually honest, most people are not biologically, physiologically hungry at that time. So that means you have two wills. You have the will to eat, and you have the will also to not eat. And again, very clear, he tells us we're talking about eating for pleasure, not for sustenance. So we're not talking about going around starving yourself, because that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Okay? As we said, you might have both of these feelings. You should then examine the two wills. Be self-aware, and you should say to yourself, the desire to eat is an outer will. So that makes sense, by the way, with what we quoted last week from Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, makes sense. Remember, he said it's an outer influence of society, which is called the Shibur Malchios. It's not an internal will, it's outer. It's an outer influence of society that the donuts get fancier and fancier every year, and they have pop-up shops and this kind and that kind, and every party has them. So it's an outer influence of society. So it's not your inner will. The desire to eat is what we call Shibur Malchios. The outer will, the influence of society upon you, because no one's born. It's very interesting. When a young child nurses, when they had enough, they're going to stop. They're not going to continue to take in milk because they're not hungry anymore. It's a learned behavior, social eating. It's a learned behavior. That part of eating doesn't have to do with our internal will. If you drop someone here who never saw social eating before, they'll naturally follow their own body. I'm not hungry. It's not even Hanukkah. It could be dessert on Shabbos also. The desire to eat is an outer will, not my deepest will. It is a lower layer that covers the neshama. So in other words, if there's a covering over the neshama, like a timtum aleif, Okay, if you have a blockage over the heart, it's hard to do Ratzon Hashem. If you have a blockage over the neshama, it's hard to access the will of God that lays within you. And that is referred to as the Nefesh HaBehamis. The Nefesh HaBehami, the animalistic soul. And Rabbi Zev Lef also, a long time ago, I heard this, but I've heard this in other places also. So the word Behema, it stands for, exactly, Bama. What you see is what you get. The animal is what it is. By the way, animals will eat when they're hungry, and they won't eat when they're not hungry. If you ever watch nature documentaries, they eat, and when they're not hungry, they're going to stop eating. They don't kill for pleasure, for defense. But generally, carnivores and will kill for prey in order to sustain themselves. Ba-ma, it is what it is. What you see is what you get. But they don't go through a whole cheshbon at the Hanukkah party. Should I eat it or shouldn't I eat it? Like most of us. Sometimes you'll even hear people saying, I can't believe I'm eating this. First of all, don't say that. It's self-denigrating. It really bothers me when women say that. If you're going to eat it, just eat it. You don't have to make a speech to everybody at the table. I can't believe I'm eating this. Don't tell everyone. If you're going to eat it, just eat it with dignity. Okay? But the animal doesn't go through the whole cheshbon of should I eat or shouldn't I eat? Should the hyena take the prey away? The pack of hyenas take the prey away from the cheetah that just made a kill? Ba-ma! They're just going to do what they do. What you see is what you get. A human being is much more complex than that. Animals do not have bechira chafshis. And we already said that by Bereishis, Vayitzer only has one yud by animals. They only have one yitzer. They don't have a double yitzer. They don't have this whole machshava. Ba-ma! So the animalistic soul within you is one aspect of you, and the inner desire of the soul is to not eat this. The outer desire will say eat, the inner desire is not eat, and this is the will of Hashem as well. Okay, so what does Hashem want? He wants us to take care of our bodies, he wants us to be healthy, he wants us to eat when we're hungry and not eat when we are not hungry. But the Shibur Malchios in which we live, Rabbi Zalov says that's the external Yetzer Hara, convinces us otherwise. So it's interesting. He gives advice, which I think a nutritionist and dietitian would not tell you. But I don't think that he's a nutritionist or dietitian. Look next. Take the food in your hand and say, okay, so now you're holding the donut. Maybe the nutritionist
That's the first mistake.
That's what I was saying. The nutritionist would say, take a walk. Have a conversation with somebody else. Put some melon on your plate. So the first thing he tells you to do is take the food in your hand. I am not giving diet advice. Don't take any dietary advice from what we're about to read. Okay, you'll see what he says. Take the food in hand. So you're standing there holding, imagine your favorite flavor of donut on Hanukkah. We happen to like, not the fancy ones, my family doesn't go for this. I just like the regular custard donut with the chocolate on top. That's my favorite donut. So now you're full, because most of us are definitely full. And now they bring out the fresh donut. So now you're holding the donut in your hand. This is what you should say to yourself. I'm not trying to make choizek. It's definitely not health advice, and it's just an interesting approach. I know my inner component does not want this, but I know my outer component does. I know the outer component controls me more than the inner component. The outer Yetzer Hara controls me more than my inner neshama. Since I know I'm more controlled by the outer than the inner, I should not fight against the outer. I don't have the strength to do so. Therefore, I'll eat it. I will eat the food. It's clear to me my true ratzon is not to eat, but I cannot yet overcome the outer ratzon, therefore I will eat. Okay, this is interesting. Take it however you want. You know, if you put in a different inyan there, not food, like, you know, hold the Lashon Hara in your hand, okay? I mean, proverbially, obviously you can't hold the words in your hand. And think to yourself, my outer ratzon is to type this. My inner ratzon is not to type it. But since my outer ratzon controls me and I'm not strong enough, I'm just going to do it. So don't take dietary advice from what he's saying. But really what he's saying is that you need to be very strong and self-aware to control your inner ratzon. And until you get to that stage, you should give in. Yeah.
I took it a little differently.
Okay.
I thought he was saying that initially we're too weak to overcome our outer desire. So We're going to give it anyway. At least let's start training our thinking to think about our inner rut zone.
Think about it, but he's saying you should eat it.
He's not saying you should eat it. He's saying you're actually too weak, so you're going to eat it. But if you're doing that, he's not saying it that way. The wording is funny. To me, I took it.
Well, the mice is saying pick it up, contemplate that you can't win the fight, and therefore I'll eat the food. You're saying he's not are you saying he's not recommending weed? He's just saying the Matzias is you're going to eat it, so at least be aware when you're eating it, at least be aware that you shouldn't be eating it.
At least train your thinking to start training. Opportunity to start training your thinking to consider your inner rut zone, even though you're not successful in that point.
So you're saying he's not recommending eat it, but he's saying be aware of your dual emotions, your contradictory emotions, and then know you're going to eat.
Well, because the person who doesn't have a contradiction is not going
to... But it is a contradiction. Your inner self knows I shouldn't eat it. Right. Your outer self is telling you to eat it.
Right, but then the person who's just going to see donuts and say, I need donuts, it's not even a struggle at all. It's not in that situation.
But if that's what you do every time, then how are you going to overcome? Because then every year you're going to be eating the donut instead of... Okay, so that you're exactly right. That's exactly what he's saying. Step one is to be self-aware. And again, substitute anything for the donut. Substitute a different avoda for the donut. You're right. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying step one is to realize the contradiction within yourself between your outer will and the inner deep Ratzon Hashem. Yeah.
I was going to say, an intellectual honesty, not rationalizing, not turning it into a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, because maybe it could be a thing that it's a mitzvah that you fry coming on Hanukkah, but I think people play a game in their heads, and
but they start to rationalize their behavior. So he's saying just be intellectually honest, don't rationalize, be aware of what you're doing.
Right.
Don't stand here and rationalize.
Right. You can't get anywhere if you're
not self-aware. So that's what I said in the beginning, which is why I talk about this idea in Elul, because if anybody wants to do teshuvah, you can't do teshuvah without self-awareness. So you could say the same thing by the donuts. You're not going to stop eating the donuts, at least until you have the self-awareness of the inner battle within, yeah?
In this example, it isn't something that's so black and white, right and wrong,
like Lashon Hara.
Like Lashon Hara. So I guess...
It's more gray.
Might not be practical to every situation. Like sometimes things are just wrong, and it's halachically usur versus something that might be.
You're saying this is more of a gray area.
Right. Or it's more of a, I guess, midos improvement, or a self improvement rather than a yes or no halacha.
Okay.
I don't know,
that's,
yeah.
Okay.
But maybe it could apply to halacha if, let's say, lashon hara is a.
It's usur.
It's usur. But let's say it's the noticing aspect of your...
I understand. The only reason I'm saying about what both of you are saying is because there does come to a certain point where eating too many donuts is transgressing Torah law also. The Rambam speaks about eating in Hilchos Deos very clearly about how you're supposed to eat. And the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, I've taught it before, is a compilation of halacha. The Rambam's Mishnah Torah is a book of halacha. It speaks about how a person should eat. So halacha dictates everything in our lives. Mamish, everything in our lives is dictated by halacha, including eating. But at a certain point, you do move from the realm of midos to, is this within what is permitted by Torah? Okay, let's go on. Why will you, if you look up, for example, the Ramban, I just quoted the Rambam, but the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, very, very famous, Vayikra Perik Yod Tes Beis, where he speaks about it means kadoshim to you, and he speaks about alti navel b'rshus hatorah. Wait a second, I'm not so sure about what you just said. Because alti navel b'rshus hatorah, don't be degenerate within the parameters of Torah. And he gives different examples of how a person can be over this mitzvah of kadoshim to you, and one of them is by eating. Look up the Ramban. He talks about drinking wine, speech, relations, marital relations, and eating. So a person can be over the mitzvah of what is kadoshim tiyu. So that's what the mafarshim discuss. it's how do I be holy? What does that mean? It's not concrete. Lashon Hara, don't talk it. I know what to do, hopefully. But how, it doesn't say I'm always going to do the right thing, but at least I have an awareness of what I'm supposed to do. But what is Kedoshim to you? So Chazal, we don't know Torah Shebichtav without Torah Shebal Peh. Chazal come along and tell us what it means. So according to the Ramban, it means not to be in excess of what is permitted. And once you're in excess of what is permitted, you are over. And in fact, in Hilchos Brachos, I'll tell you something else. If a person is eating Achilas Gasa, okay, therefore, don't pass on any halacha from what I'm saying, but I remember learning that if a person is eating achilas gasa, so you're not hungry, okay? You're definitely not hungry, the donuts come out. It's a shayla if you even make a bracha on that donut, because it's like force feeding, it's stuffing, you're not even really hungry. So I'm not so certain that I agree with the final statement of what you just said based on those few sources, because even eating of this fashion is dictated and controlled by mitzvahs. It might not be Tarach Shebichtav, although the Ramban's interpretation of Kedoshim Tiyu would be the Tarach Shebichtav with the interpretation of Tarach Shebal Peh. But if it's Achilas Gasa, you don't make a bracha on dessert if it's Achilas Gasa, so that means you shouldn't be eating it. Al-Pi Halacha. Okay, what will you accomplish by this? Okay. What will you accomplish by this? You will not be eating out of habit. So this is what I think both of you, Sarah and Shani, were trying to say. To have a self-awareness. You will not be eating out of habit. You won't just pick it up because I always do this, at least before you eat it, because you know you're going to eat. You know going to the Hanukkah party, I'm eating the donut. Once a year I eat them, I'm eating it. So you know you're eating it. I think that's what you were trying to say, that he's explaining. So you're definitely eating it going in. Right? Only a tsunami is going to hold me back from that custard donut. But at least before you eat it, have the contemplation that what does my inner desire want? What does my outer desire want? Now I know I'm giving in, but at least I am self-aware enough to appreciate the inner contradiction between my two selves. What will you accomplish by this? So what are you accomplishing since you ate it anyway? What you accomplish is that you're not eating out of habit. First, you will consider, is this food helpful for my Avodas Hashem or not? Okay, so like you said, Shani, if you want to, you know, start to be Malamed Tzchus upon yourself and turn it into a mitzvah, Chanukah oil, I would tell you that the OU Halacha Yomis this year, on Chanukah, they were dealing with Inyanei Chanukah, and I didn't save it, but one of them quoted the father of the Rambam, Rabbi Maimon Hadayan. You know, he's Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon. They quoted a sefer of Rabbi Maimon Hadayan, who I never, in my limited knowledge, heard of, and he even speaks about the importance of the minhag of eating foods fried in oil on Chanukah. So we're going back, if the Rambam died in the early 1200s, this was his father's writing. So I'm going back, for sure, 900 to 1,000 years ago, where Rabbi Maimon had died, this is quoting the OU Halacha Yomis, writes about the importance of, it's a very strong minhag, imagine, how long ago we're talking about eating food fried in oil. So a friend and I who learn the OU Halacha Yomis together sometimes we discuss them. So she emailed it to me, even though I get it anyway, she forwarded it to me, she's like, this is so interesting, quote, have another donut, exclamation mark. Okay, so what should you accomplish? You will not, at least you won't be eating out of habit.
It's mindfulness.
What? Mindfulness, okay, mindfulness, that's exactly right. It's a word today for that school of thought. That's exactly right. Interesting, my daughter and I had an appointment yesterday with someone who was very, very busy. But my daughter said, I felt like when the person was with us, they were really with us. And it was true. It was true. And I said, I agree. The person was extremely busy. But when they were with us, they were with us. That's mindfulness, to be present in the moment. Alei alai ha'hara v'hei isham. What do you mean, alei alai ha'hara v'hei isham? Arzash mishpat in perich of dal. Pasuk yirbeiz av shamos. Obviously, if you go up to the mountain, you're here with me. I think. Chavdal yirbeiz. What does it mean, alei alai ha'hara v'hei isham? Of course, if you go up to the mountain, you're there with me. What it means is, yeah, perich of dal, pasuk yirbeiz in shamos. It means be present. If you're coming up to the mountain, don't be distracted by 100 other things when you're with me. So that's what he's talking about. Very good word. Mindful eating. Even if you're going to eat it, pay attention to what you're doing. What will you accomplish? You will at least not be eating out of habit. You will first consider, is this food helpful for my Avodas Hashem or not? You will realize it's really not helpful. I think the donut example, having just come off of Chanukah 2 weeks ago, is particularly helpful, as it makes a lot of sense. Then you should ask yourself, 2 weeks ago, I think it was just last week, when did Chanukah end already? Last Sunday was the last lech, a week and a half ago, yeah. Last Monday was those Chanukah, it seems like much longer. Then you will ask, what do I want? Ask yourself, be mindful. The eye of my neshama. By the time you go through this, everyone at the party is going to be finished the donuts. They're going to be packed up and you're going to be staring at your plate. Then you will ask yourself, what do I want? What?
They'll be ready for
Hamitasha. And soon they're going to be clearing out the chametz. What do I want? The eye of my neshama does not want to eat, but the eye of my body does want to eat, so you should be aware. You will notice that in this area, the body, namely the animal soul, rules. When an animal wants to eat, it's going to eat. It does not go through a whole list of contemplations. It's just going to eat. And like you said, one of you said, this is the first step. You must achieve clarity by identifying your inner forces. We're going to take a break for now because I want to go to Faith Over Fear, where he also talks about eating. Okay, so it's going to tie into what we are learning. Rivka Krishna just stopped out, but she gifted me this book, Sefer, a little while ago. Remember we quoted from it, Al Tzadikim Ve'al Chasidim, Yamuna Rachmecha. Okay. He is also going to talk about this idea of being mindful while eating. So Mamesh, this story ties in very much to where we are up to in our Sefer. We're going from the Sefer Faith Over Fear, Path to Bitachon, compiled by Rabbi Yehuda Kilsin, adapted from Rav Yechiel Yitzchak Peres Vadim on Sefer Madrigos HaAdam. The altar of Novardak, describe man's plans. We all have plans in this world, okay? His galgos hasibos. What is his galgos hasibos? His galgos hasibos is literally the turnings of the causes. We all make plans. And the altar of Novarda called these his galgos, like a wheel, his galgos hasibos, which really means like the reasons, okay? So I'm turning and turning things, and I have reasons for everything that I'm doing, and I think I'm running the world. Going back to Paro, I'm running the world. This unusual idiom conjures up dramatic imagery. A small man is bent over. He strains and he sweats against a large lever at the base of a massive tower of weathered metal gears. So imagine there's a huge tower, and at the bottom there are weathered, rusty, used metal gears. Eventually, with a jarring groan, the tower clanks and grinds to life with a madness of whirling and dancing motions. If you examine it carefully, you will notice the tiny teeth of each gear is nestled into that of its neighbor, so it urges it and pushes along until it wakes up and it starts moving, moving, moving. What does this mountain of human toil accomplish? A person decides he needs to make a parnasa, which is indeed an obligation. That's in parentheses. Okay, so a person decides I need to make a parnasa, which is indeed an obligation. So he chooses to enter accounting, a nice Jewish field. To become an accountant, he needs a degree. For a degree, he needs to go to college. For that, he needs to get a high school diploma. In order to get a diploma, he has to pass his advanced English course. Unfortunately, to pass the course, he needs to write a paper. The subject has to be footnoted and referenced, and for one footnote, he needs a book from the Peninsula Public Library. It's Mamash what it says. When he, and I promise, I'm on page 25. He needs a certain book from the Peninsula Public Library. I was laughing.
Well, maybe he's not a member of that library.
What?
You have to be a member of that library. To be
so then you need membership. Then you need to bring your gas bill and two utility bills. When he gets there, the librarian tells him the book is already on loan. It's not due for another week. So for the final goal of earning his first paycheck as an accountant, our young protagonist must find a book, go to the library, find a book, provided, because I didn't speak to the librarian, hopefully she's dressed appropriately, depending on the season, provide a footnote, pass the course, get his diploma, get into college, and graduate, so he can get a degree, get a job, and get his first paycheck. His galgos hasibos were always turning, turning, and the wheels and the teeth of each wheel is intermeshed with one another, turning, turning, turning. Look at the hisgalgos hasibos, exclamation marks. I know it seems like it has nothing to do with what we're learning, but he's going to get up to eating. That's why I'm bringing this to you. Even though it happens to be interesting, there's a purpose why we're davka up to here. Look at the hisgalgos hasibos. He made preparations for preparations for preparations. He's turning one wheel after another. I underlined it in my notes. All of life is cheshbonos, about cheshbonos, about cheshbonos. So why do you have to show it to end of your life? I made cheshbonos calculations for my cheshbonos. For my cheshbonos. Calculating, how to calculate, how to calculate, how to calculate.
Rav was machshavos
the leish. Oh, you're saying literally, rabos machshavos.
Yes.
We have a lot of plans and a lot of turnings and a lot of thoughts. It brings us back to the hungry man hurrying. This brings us back to the man hurrying and worrying down the street. He ignores the trees and the worlds around him. You went so mivart on that. Anyone who's walking on Pirkei Avos, you told me. Anyone who's walking and learning, and he says, Ma na'a ilan zah, kilu mischayiv benafsho. Someone who's walking and learning, and he stops and he says, how beautiful is this tree? He's chayiv risa. What? What did he do? He just said, Marabu ma'asar Hashem, kulam b'chach masi, so look at the blossoms in spring. So you propose that maybe he's walking with a fellow Yid, and he's too engrossed in his learning to notice this Jew's needs and concerns. But he comes to the tree, he says, how beautiful are the flowers. What about the Jew next to you? So maybe that's why he's mischayiv benafsho. You can't notice the tree at the expense of your friend. So this man is hurrying and worrying down the street. He's ignoring the trees and the world around him. The trees stand stark naked, so it's fall or winter, majestically grabbing at the sky with their knobby, twisted fingers. They wave at him in the brisk wind as he rushes past, unknowing and unaware. Does the worrying bring him any benefit? Of course not. Nevertheless, he cannot spare a second from worry. Worry snatches at your life and makes off with a chunk here and a chunk there until you have nothing left. Most worries that preoccupy you never come to fruition. And sometimes you follow your worries so far down the rabbit hole, they are utterly divorced from any reality. Obviously, we start worrying that we start to imagine the possibilities of what could be, but they never even happen. You're just imagining. Sometimes my husband says to me, promise, Michal, don't imagine the worst case scenario. Why am I even thinking the worst case scenario? It didn't even happen. I'm worrying about something that didn't even happen. That's exactly what he's saying. Worry snatches your life. A chunk here, a chunk there, nothing left. And most worries that preoccupy you aren't reality anyway. His galgos hasibos. Will the library have the book? What if they don't have the book? What if I can't find the footnote? What if I don't turn the paper on in time? What if I don't get accepted into that college? What if I don't pass the AP English course? What if I don't get a job as an accountant? You're 14 years old, and okay, at them, they're not worrying so much. You're 19, you're 20, you're 25, you're 46, and you can't stop thinking about what if. Why are you worrying about the worst case scenario? The river of worry never, I can't take interruptions, 9:14. The river of worry never runs dry. Someone told me many years ago, Ricky Fishbein, she lives down Central Avenue, and she told me, I'm sure I told this to you before, that da'aga, dalet aleph gimel hei, is the first four letters of the aleph base, except the letter of the base. Because if a person has bitachon, they do not have da'aga. I'll tell you something interesting that I only learned much more recently. Another word that also has is aguda. Aguda, aguda achas. I heard this told over at the end of Rabbi Zev Lefshir. He was finished. There was a lot of background noise. The recorder happened to have not been turned off. A lady asked him a question, and he mentioned that aguda has every letter except for B's. And there was a lot of background talk. And I was like, chas de Hashem that I heard, because I was like, whoa. So I was thinking to myself, maybe aguda achas, we daven for it on the Yom Menorah. I believe it's in the Rosh Hashanah davening, yeah. How can you have an aguda achas? Beis represents division. Beis is two. When we're split into two factions, we can have an aguda achas. So if we stop worrying, if we remove the da'aga and have bitachon, it will lead us to see every yid without the worries, without the contemplations, without the judgments, leave that up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we will form that aguda achas, and then, lasos ritzoncha, the leva shalem, to do your will, which is really what we're speaking about, with a full heart, ritzonenu lasot, when we have the aguda achas, when we remove the division amongst Klal Yisrael, remove the beis, the division, and remove the da'aga, and only have, make the beis not division, but bitachon, then we will truly be able la'asot ritzoncha, which is what we're trying to do. The leva of shalem. You don't even want to eat the donut anymore because you don't want to be the novel bishul satar, because you want to stick to the Rambam's codification of halacha for eating. So you come to the point where you come to the Hanukkah party and you say, I don't even want it. Because Hashem, please don't send me emails that Hashem wants you to enjoy the donut. It's just an example. And if you don't like it, substitute something else. Please, I'm being serious. It's an example. It's a dugma. You don't like it, put in something else. You will come to the point where you say, I don't even want it, because that is not ratzon. So the Ezra Hashem and Hashem of Mirim Fu, Mirim Baschai Mitzvah Kalal Hashem should continue to merit an aliyah. We should have a chizuk. And Ezra Hashem, we should continue to grow in this halak of Odas Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Besurs Tovas Kol Tov. What's wrong?
You didn't talk about food. This is going to get back to food.
I know, but so Ezra Hashem. We'll continue next week. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.